Seems to be random each time. We get a 6 second countdown today. And we still fucked it.
We still fucked it. Hello guys, and welcome to episode 4 of On the Record with Sam and Mike. How you doing, mate? You okay?
Yeah, good, good. We've got some news about lockdown that we're gonna talk about today, right?
Yes. I think we kind of understand what the tiers are. We're gonna go through in more detail, and I think especially as with our clients, we want to sort of go over a few topics to get everyone to be ready, because I think it's a huge amount of change in 1 year, and I think it's extremely important that we approach this in a very smart way, that we don't burn out, we don't destroy ourselves, because there's going to be a lot of change in the coming 2-3 months.
Yeah, agreed.
And we have the same article up, so we're going to cover the same information. Obviously, if we do miss anything or we get anything wrong, please do let us know. There's so many different opinions on... I mean, you can look into this detail. It's like Formula One looking into the regs and trying to find a loophole. So we're going to try and cover it from sort of like a top-down perspective. So obviously, we've got a 4-stage come-out-of-lockdown plan.
Which... who knows whether it will actually get stuck to.
We'll get to stage 1.5.
Yeah, and then we'll increase another 3 stages and we'll be out of lockdown by Christmas 2021.
Yeah. A new variant could be created in the darkness of Slough that would just completely take over the UK, and then we'll be back to stage -4. First of all, let's go through them, and then we can sort of cover a few points on how we can approach it, and how we'd advise our clients to approach it. So obviously stage one, looking at stage one, it's more for schools, colleges, and the urgent stuff by the looks of it.
Yeah, it looks like exercise allowed outdoors once a day in your local area, which from what I understand is
I thought that was fine anyway.
Don't think that's changed. I think you can exercise with your household, support bubble, or one other person. Just go outside. It looks like that's kind of what's going on anyway. Mm. Every now and then, I'm just going to have to talk to my dog because she's had an eye surgery. And I need to leave it.
I'll let you know if she's scratching her eye or
something. Well, this is part of the reason I've got the camera facing this way so I can also see. And also because... dogs drastically increase views. For anyone who doesn't know, this is Roxy. This is her assuming the position she'll be in now for the next 12 hours.
She might go on her back at some point.
Yeah.
Exactly. Little rotation. At least my dog's got a thing about eating zips.
Zips.
So I put on my Lululemon zip up hoodie this morning. That wasn't a plug, by the way.
That was a solid plug. You've been made an ambassador, mate.
And I went to zip it up and I was like, what the fuck? And the zip completely chewed off. So if there's any vets out there that I need to see because he swallowed a zip, please let me know.
I'm sure it'll pass.
Yeah.
You've got a lab. Yeah. He'll eat all sorts over the period of his lifetime.
Yeah, there's too much passing going on in the garden at the moment. I can't keep control of it. stage one, 8th of March, not a huge amount of change. Looking at stage two, we got 29th. No, that's the second part of stage one.
Yeah.
Outdoor sports facilities will reopen, including golf courses, tennis and basketball courts, which is great. I mean, it's social... it gets you outside.
I assume that will also include the outdoor gyms that we've got.
Yeah.
The outdoor gyms being, you know, the ones that are like the calisthenics rigs and stuff like that, the outdoor pull-up bars. I would assume that those kind of sports facilities would be reopened. Though, to be fair,
you say reopen, they'll just take the tape off from around them so people can't use them anymore.
It is mad. It is absolutely mad at how much restriction went into like building those fences around the gyms.
Well, we've just got tape. So I go to the park and they've just got tape around.
We've got metal fences.
Wow.
Metal fences.
I mean, it could be because no one actually uses ours. So that could be why.
Yeah. You're in suburban life where everyone's got to the age of 40 and is now drinking wine every single night to cope with their their life.
Yeah, I don't think those calisthenics equipment have ever been used, to be honest. But yeah, I think to be honest, there's still a lot of things going on. So it's, I think, what are we now? 25th of February. So 29th of March, still quite a way away. So obviously, that could be, imagine if that got brought forward. That'd be great.
Stage two, though, does say no earlier than 12th of April. So I think they've covered their asses a bit.
I didn't see that.
Kind of saying, okay, it's not going to be 12th of April. It's probably not. It's going to be it's no earlier. But they've got there that, you know, gyms and spas can reopen for individuals and households. Now, from what I understand about this one.
This is indoors.
This is indoors. But from what I understand on this point, at the moment, it's no class-based gyms, which is a bit of a bummer to pretty much every CrossFit gym. Though I would imagine CrossFit gyms will still reopen and just have a open gym policy with a coach kind of overseeing and no actual, like, coaching, inverted commas, going on. And that will be the kind of loophole that kind of happens there. Which makes it, so it's not really even a loophole because effectively they open and they've got a booking in system, but there's no actual teaching going on. It's absolutely no different to a regular gym opening. I would imagine not many CrossFit gyms will suffer too much there. They'll figure out a way to do it. But that means your gyms like Gymbox, your Virgin Actives, your Gold's Gyms, those kind of things will be open. Do we even have Gold's Gym in England?
No.
I don't even know why I mentioned that.
There should be one. That's what I'm saying. I need one of those vests. I think
no
this
one
date
needs
is
those vests.
What? Everyone. No is, they're one called wife beaters, aren't they?
No,
the wife beater ones.
No one needs a vest that reveals your nipples on both sides.
Well, maybe I should have had one pre-lockdown because I think lockdown body's not quite going to... Well, it's going to fill it out the wrong way. but anyway, I think this date is a really big one because obviously it's a date for us to aim for in terms of a shift in some sort of change for most people, whether it's daily routines, whether it's opportunities to get more sort of creative and with their training and obviously get a bit more sane, I think, a bit of social energy out there. But I think another aspect of this is obviously supporting because the 12th of April is when these small businesses are able to open up their doors again, which is a huge part of their business. Because if you think about it, like these small gyms have been shut for a huge amount of the year of the madness. Which is even a week of having to close your doors is a huge amount of volatility to your business. And I think, to be honest, the whole fitness industry, from my perspective, have, 99% of the fitness industry have absolutely smashed it in terms of adapting their business, evolving to online. I mean, back in the day, how many coaches, how many gyms? I'm not talking about the type of people that take advantage of other revenue channels. I'm talking about businesses that build their business on personal interaction, classes, raw coaching, have had to make the change to go online because they've had to support the community and now they're able to open the doors.
Yeah, I think as well I had a really, really smart point then and then it's just completely gone out of my head. So I think
it'll come back.
What some of these businesses have had to struggle with is the fact that they were basically told to put in strict regulations to allow for classes to keep going. And, you know, some gyms have reorganized their entire room, uprooted their rigs, moved the rigs around. Some have put in strict, like, lane policies, a lot of, like, hand sanitizer. Even, I know District has foot sanitizer as well when you come in, so it's not on the bottom of your shoes either.
Reminds me of foot and mouth disease when you used to have to step in those buckets.
And some of these guys have worked so hard only to be potentially shafted at the last minute again with not being allowed to teach these classes. And arguably, the classes are safer than anything else because you've got someone in charge monitoring how close people are. It's literally like in some gyms, it's now stay in your lane. We've given you a 2 meter radius to stay in your lane to ensure. There is going to be none of that at regular gyms.
No. And if anything, class, in my honest perspective, I almost feel like class-based training is more organized and structured than free-for-all open gym. I mean, you can educate, you can coordinate, you can restrict, obviously, positions and control the class, whereas open gym, not many gyms are going to be able to be like, here's your station, there's all the equipment you need.
Yeah.
And it's, from my perspective, it's a very different style, and I almost feel the classes should have maybe come first.
Yeah, I think they should as well. I mean, the positive about this is the fact that they've chosen to open up gyms before nightclubs, which is like, you know, last time, I think you're just going to get the clientele from nightclubs just going to pubs. Because but pubs are still allowed to be open up.
So when does Gymbox open?
That's a good point. I think it's...
Because that's a nightclub.
Well, gyms, no, gym...
Or is it a gym?
Yeah, that's a good point. Gymbox is...
what about those...
Maybe they're just not allowed the DJ in. They're not allowed the DJ in.
Dark, brothel-style gyms with overly loud music and all sorts of strobe lights going off in your face. Yeah. But yeah, I think the 12th of April is, I mean, that is where we spent most of our time, but that's fine. I think 12th of April is a massive date, and it's not just an area for us to focus on for ourselves, but also to support the businesses, the community around us that have kind of helped us get through these times.
Yeah.
Because I mean, imagine if these businesses didn't adapt to providing the business online. We wouldn't be in the position we're in now, or our clients be in a position now that they can adapt their lifestyle, adapt their training, and maintain that level of consistency with their health and wellness.
My only worry around this is that on the 29th of March, effectively, the stay-at-home rule ends, and it could very easily be chaotic over the 2 weeks leading up to the 12th of April, which would then push things back.
I mean, that could be why. Yeah, that, I mean, to be honest, that's why they've got no earlier than 12th of April, because they've got that sort of safety factor.
Yeah.
So that could be their mindset behind it. But
I got into an argument on one of Pat Vellner's posts the other day. He posted himself working out in the gym with a mask on. And 90% of the comments on there were anti-mask comments. Poor Pat Vellner, restricted breathing. This is dangerous for people. I was like, he's literally just being a role model in this circumstance. He's wearing his mask because it's the only thing that allows him to keep his business open. So wear the mask. Like, if more people did it at the beginning, we'd probably be in less of a lockdown.
Yeah.
These people just are just like...
be a good influence.
Yeah. And I was just like, doctors, nurses, dentists, surgeons, they've been wearing masks for the majority of their day. For years. You know, it's like, it's not restricting your breathing in the sense that you just need to adapt. Like, yes, it's psychologically, it's going to be a little bit harder. Yes, the rate of air intake, just bring your workout intensity down.
Do you know what? I think I actually prefer wearing a mask because it's warmer. Especially in England. Like, I realised this the other day.
When I was in Geneva, we were outside, it was like -4. I put my mask on, I was like, benefits.
Yeah. It's great. But yeah, I think obviously we're looking at all these tiers and everything else, anything can change. But a big thing that I want to cover is the importance of how we can prepare ourselves for these dates. I think it's so easy, and we did talk about this before we started this podcast, doors open. everything changes. Like you're going to get an email from your work, you might not, obviously work's going to change, your situation's going to change, transport's going to open up, you'll be driving or going on transport, you'll be outdoors more often, you'll be walking more. I mean, even things like walking is going to make a huge impact on the amount of work you essentially do in a day with your training and everything. I mean, you know, if you do 10,000 steps, it's keeping active, but going from doing 2,000 steps inside and training to 10,000 steps, maybe commuting on your bicycle every day with your training, obviously the added stresses of having to train go to work 5 days a week, there's going to be more expectations. It's just, it's going to be a huge, huge shift. And I think a big thing that we need to try and do is prepare mentally and have a strategy in place that when things do start to change, that we start to change incrementally.
Yeah, I think what you've got is the reality of your situation coming out of lockdown versus what you really want to do. And a lot of people really want to get back into regular training, routine training. But workplaces probably also want you to get back into a regular work habit as well.
Yeah.
And whilst a lot of...
And your mates are going to want to have a drink and all sorts of stuff.
Whilst a lot of workplaces are going to be a bit more understanding, or they're going to ease people going back to work, some people won't. And for those people who wear training is a priority, but they've also got to now get back into the office for 8 or 9 a.m., it probably means... If they're going to train at the gym, they're going to have to get up earlier. So very likely less sleep is now going to happen. Plus, they're going to want to catch up, again, inverted commas, with their fitness. So they're probably going to push the intensity a little bit higher. And now the general stress level of their day is also a little bit higher. And potentially their work hours are longer. And I think the nice thing about lockdown is like you see a lot of people who can meet for... like a walk or a coffee at 3 p.m. in the afternoon for 20 minutes. Whereas they can't really do that in their office job.
It's almost an employed member of staff, or employed people are employed but have the similar lifestyle to a self-employed.
Where they can manage their time. I've never been employed. I'm not very good with the boss. But yeah, no, I know what you mean. Like, you've got a little bit more structure. You've got a little bit more control over the structure of your day. So yeah, it's going to be an interesting one, I think.
You imagine someone, like, worst case or best case scenario, right? Gym's open. They have to work 5 days a week. They go from being at home, probably walking once every 2-3 days, doing an hour's training every day, working from home, seeing their family, not really commuting anywhere, getting up at 7:30, and then suddenly Monday hits. Boom.
Yeah.
Like up at 5 a.m., going to the gym, an hour session, showering, doing your commute, going to work, maybe not as much food as you used to have when you were at home, obviously less sleep. You have your lunch, which is not your normal lunch or whatever, and you're working maybe more, or you're maybe sat at your desk more. You finish work at 6, you go have a drink with your mates, you come home at 7:30 or 8:30, that would be quite early. That, in one day, is a huge shift compared to what you're doing.
However, on the flip side of that, you've also got the fact that for a lot of people, the social interaction is actually a de-stressor. And so now you're actually interacting with other human beings as opposed to simply your dog and potentially one other human being. And I think
I did it the other day when I went into Crescent yesterday because I had a meeting and I had to go in. And the accountant came in. I'm like, what are you doing? And he's like, I had to get away from home. It's not because he had a meeting. He's like, I just have to come into my office.
I went to buy chicken yesterday at Park Road and ended up spending 30 minutes just talking to the people serving me chicken because it was nice.
Yeah.
And it was
bad thing if you're going to have people.
I actually felt like I came away with...
that you don't want to talk to.
True. I did literally come away with like feeling good, feeling more like invigorated. So I think rather than also we could just focus on the negatives of like the stress coming in, I don't shy away from like hanging out with people or talking to other people because you'll find it invigorating. And I think this is one of the primary reasons, at least in my opinion, like classes should be open first, is they're doing enough to minimize damage and like make sure it's healthy and safe. But people go to class mainly for a social interaction. That's this the truth of it. And that's why like CrossFit gyms and stuff and more boutique gyms focus more on like the community rather than just the intensity of their workouts. Like maybe there was a shift at the beginning from like where it was focused around intensity and how hard your workout's going to be. I just think more than ever, you're seeing more that you're getting more emphasis on community, because effectively over the past year, people have been lonely, and like to many respects, like suffering from a bit of depression, which I kind of did a little bit of a post on this morning on my own, what's it called? Instagram. I use it so little. I've forgotten the name of what Insta-face. That platform thing is. Also, people keep inviting me to random new things like TikTok and Clubhouse. Too many things. I went on, like I said to you, I went on Clubhouse once. I get it. It's like audio-based webinars. But I'm just like, it's too much. Yeah. Like, it's I'm getting much. Into YouTube. I know I'm 15, 20 years late, but I'm finally getting into like subscribing to things I want to watch on YouTube. I also like the visual stimulation. But I actually find that when I'm just on an audio call...
Where is this chat going now, Mike? Where is this chat
going? Oh, yeah, here we go. When I find Bitcoin. That I'm just...
Bitcoin. Let's talk about
Bitcoin. Just on an audio call, I don't find it quite stimulating. Bitcoin? We're not.
When are we mining... We're mining Bitcoin, Mike. That's all I'm saying. We're going to... Stop putting time into YouTube, all that. We're going to mine Bitcoin as soon as you get your PC. That's what I'm saying. So Mike's getting your PC. We're going to mine Bitcoin. That's it.
Me and Brett had a fantastic conversation about the future of cryptocurrency mining. But Brett
is going to be our head miner, and we're going to be like just following suit. Anyway,
Brett is actually one of the owners of CrossFit Shadesmiths, and he runs a very, very successful, he is one of the owners of a very successful CrossFit gym. He's just very...
Yeah.
Diligent hard worker, so we get to have interesting conversations that sometimes develop into wild conspiracy theories, but generally have a good point to them. Should we get back to what we're talking
about? He's soon going to be part of a successful mining company as well. But I think going back to topic, I think it's important to maybe look at this is sort of like a simplified way. So it's like, okay, what are my priorities when the 12th of April hit? Like, I'm not going to overload myself. So I know I need social interaction. Okay, fine. Write it all down and be like, right, okay. Social interaction is a massive priority for me. I know that I've got to achieve this for my work in that week. Okay, I've got to be at work 5 days a week. Have these priorities 1 to 5 or 6. And you can manage what the priorities are, and you know there's going to be trade-offs. Like, you can't give 100% from the day one. You might be like, okay, do you know what? Like, yes, gyms are open. I'm going to support the industry. I'm going to support my local gym. I know that it's going to do me good. I get a balance of social interaction. Maybe you might find you don't get social interaction from the 12th of April. Maybe you find most of your social interactions from work. So you go, right, okay, I'm going to train in a gym twice a week. I'm going to train at home for the rest of the week. That will give me balance that I can be like, right, okay, I'm going to ease into this slowly. Then you can obviously adapt, because it's better to be less and then have more to add than obviously go too far and you've burnt out. I think that's probably the best way from my perspective on how to approach it from the day of the 12th, is prioritize what you need and what you need health-wise. We all know that you can keep fit at home, but it doesn't tick that social aspect, like we said. What do you think?
I think you're going to get people who have invested in a lot in their equipment. still wanting to train at home. But I reckon you're going to get more people kind of having people around to train with them now.
Mm.
So you're almost creating like a mini class or mini gym within that community. But like for me, like because I'm moving to out towards Milton Keynes, I already ordered my gym a while back. And
the home of all the roundabouts.
Yeah, I'm about 6 miles out, so I don't really do roundabouts on a daily basis. But yeah, I mean, like, I will have a fully equipped garage gym, and it will be my primary source of training. But it's very likely that I'll look for a CrossFit gym, or if my neck gets better, potentially a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu gym out there, just to have like more of a sense of community. So I think you're going to get almost like an ease back in to these communities. So I wouldn't expect gyms to have a huge influx immediately. But as people see that it's a little bit more safe, they'll ramp up pretty quickly. Because honestly, like, I think the worst thing that's come out of this entire lockdown is just a lack of social interaction. Training wise, going back to like the actual training perspective as well, like the thing people have to be careful of is being egged on by all their mates. It's so easy. I'm awful at it. Like, you get into a room with your mates and suddenly your entire session has either turned into a one rep max session or a bro session, and you're like, okay, I'm completely off what my target was. And I think we can probably expect, I'm expecting from some of my clients to have a couple of missed workouts on the first, when they can get back to CrossFit gyms, just because they're going to join in with their mates, enjoy the social interaction, and then get back on track. So
yeah,
I'm fully expecting that. Yeah, then they dropped completely. And
yeah. I mean, you'd rather that than, like you said, drop completely, or they do all of their session and all of the extra sessions that they do with their mates.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's true. Like, that's the hardest person to coach, is someone who does all your training session and then goes and does a 45-minute engine WOD on top of their goal to get strong. And
active.
Like,
active recovery, 30 minutes of muscle-ups, GHD sit-ups and assault bikes.
GHD sit-ups have never, ever come into any active recovery program, or should never fit in any active recovery program.
No, yeah, absolutely not.
I get sore from I get sore from 150 regular sit-ups. Yeah. Like, let alone GHD sit-ups, where my hip flexors are being destroyed as well.
You need to do kipping butterfly sit-ups.
No, I am kipping my butterfly sit-ups.
It's like, woof.
Still rubbish. I'm using my long ass monkey arms to throw my entire body weight forwards.
Yeah.
Because
I just use weighted gloves.
My endurance. Sometimes I use a rope to get up as well.
A rope?
Yeah. Pull me up. Assisted.
Obviously, we've covered post 12th of April. I mean, obviously, we could go.
I don't even know what we've covered anymore, mate.
No.
We should just rename the podcast Mike and Sam Championship.
We have covered from the 12th of April onwards, and we're not going to do the third or the fourth stage, but I think it'll be good for us to sort of talk about pre-12th of April. So obviously you've created these priorities on how you're going to manage your lifestyle changes and your routines and your sort of progressive overload of going back to reality. I say overload, basically steps to going back to some normality.
Mm-hmm.
And that normality might, I mean, there's a 99% chance that normality will not be normal. It will be a new normal, but it will not be the way it was before. Because, I mean, people have changed jobs, industries are very different, customers are very different, the markets are very different, GameStop have absolutely smashed it. And, I mean, it's going to be, all things have changed in this period of a year. We might even find that there are luxury mask shops on Regent Street and all sorts of stuff. So it's going to be very, very different. But pre-12th of April, obviously now we have a date, it's the 25th of February. It gives us what, month and a half?
Yeah, 6 weeks.
Just over a month.
Just over 6 weeks, yeah.
So in preparation to that, I think it is extremely important, because obviously we don't want to taper. We don't want to put them into a position, well, I mean, there's lots of different strategies, and I think it's a good time from my perspective to almost reassess goals and be like, right, okay, what do you want to achieve? Is it aesthetics? Is it performance? Is it strength? Is it this? Do we need to build? I mean, we mentioned it on the previous podcast where if your client is having to do mobility 45 minutes every day, something's not quite right.
Yeah.
So this is a period to be like, right, okay, this is my last chance to put my foundations in place so I'm in a good position that when gyms open, I know I'm not going to be 100%. I know I'm not going to be PBing. I mean, you might have someone that does 1 or 2 weeks in preparation and smash their PBs. But I think it's a management of expectations. It's preparing yourself so you're in a good position to hit the ground running, because there are things you can do to prepare yourself for that date. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. If I look at what I've got my my clients doing in their training in preparation for getting back onto a barbell. Barbells are generally a heavier way of training, like, than dumbbells. Like, I don't know anyone that can effectively dumbbell squat what they can also squat. There's just too many different variables going on.
They so, stack you up in a different way as well.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And biomechanically, it's a little bit more advantageous to have a barbell so you can push heavy loads. However, your body's not necessarily going to be used to that if you haven't had a barbell for a year and a half or a year and 2 months. So what I've got my clients doing is, if they've got access to a Concept 2 bike or they've got access to running, is effectively doing short bursts of power to improve mitochondrial density, which we won't really go into, but effectively so that when they get back to their training, a heavy barbell is not a completely foreign element. And the Concept 2 bikes and the Watt bikes are fantastic for that. And it's great if someone's got used to it. Less so the Echo bikes and the Assault bikes, because you've got a lot more arms involved. However, if anyone's ever done arm-only assault bikes, it's a pretty good preparation for, like, high-volume pull-ups. If people are getting, like, programming at the moment, for me, should be in preparation for the fact that most people are about to get back to a barbell. And so it's making sure they're resilient enough. Have they done enough bracing, or have they literally just been doing high-intensity work? Because if they've done no bracing against heavy loads for over a year, and then they put a barbell on their back, which is, for most people, one of the heaviest things they can do, you're going to get some issues, hip issues, knee issues, back issues. So I would say the next 6 weeks, really good time to focus around core strength, hollow body work, like RKC planks, even just if they've got access to kettlebells, just holds. Like front rack holds, bracing against weight. Sandbags are fantastic. Like, just sandbag carry, sandbag holds. Carry some heavy shit down your street. Even just hold a heavy box up off the ground. That kind of learning to brace against an object is going to be really useful for when they go back to, whether it's back squats, deadlifts, cleans, whatever it happens to be.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah.
No, absolutely. And I think it is an opportunity to prepare for. And I think everyone's going to want to be underneath a barbell after this period.
I just want to get back to, like, doing anything at the moment. Because, like I said to you, I jarred my neck and had a motorbike accident. So I'm going to try and get on a Concept 2 bike after this and put it on damper one.
But from a psychological point of view as well, like, preparing clients for this day, knowing that, okay guys, like, training is one aspect of this shift.
You were right.
Like, there you go, she's on her back. Training is one aspect of this shift. Like, it's getting that balance, it's expectations as well. So letting clients know, like, look, you might turn up on that first day and that bar feels like it's going to crush you to the ground.
Yeah.
But that is all part of the process. And I think a lot of people are quite, they take it very personally when they put in years and years of work or months and months of work, and they know reality, but they go into that session, they lift the barbell, they're loading up the weight, their old PB was 100, say like push jerk 130, they get to 80 and they're like, I'm unstable at the top, I feel loose, I feel like I'm out of breath, this weight feels like 190 kilos. I think a lot of that is, yes, it's not long-term, and it's not saying that everything you did initially has not done anything, it hasn't gone to loss. But I think it's getting clients to understand that it's almost like that short period of acclimatization of using that piece of kit again, getting familiar exactly. with the load, getting familiar with the intensity, the volume, even the environment.
Yeah.
Like, I can guarantee that even going into a gym, music's on loud, right? You got a squat rack, you've got a bar, you've got people around you already, your adrenaline is through the roof.
Yeah.
Like, you're probably just like, you do one set and you're like shaking, just adrenaline, because you're just so fucking pumped.
Just three knockos in.
Yeah, like three knockos, because you're like, do you know what?
That's the other thing. People now have access to hyper-caffeinated drinks again.
But I think it's getting clients to understand that mentally, this period of now till 12th of April is also to mentally prepare for the change and the shift, and obviously what to expect physically from being in the gym. And I would almost say the one goal of getting back into the gym is socializing, like you said, getting under the weight, getting intensity again, getting familiar with your kit, and take all the pressure off of how it feels, how intense it feels, how sweaty you are, or how unfit you may feel, or how fat you feel over your shorts, all of this, or how tight it feels when you're wearing. People might train for the first time in exercise gear and not pajamas.
I think, holy shit. When you're talking about acclimatization as well, it's like, what is this? What is the intention of this lift? Like, a snatch and a clean and jerk are supposed to be snappy, fast lifts. So if you go in and day one, it feels like a grind, just do it a little bit lighter. Like, re-educate your body into moving quickly, because it's quite hard to move quickly in your kitchen. Just the environment is not set up right to do it in. And some people manage it, some people don't. But yeah, like you said, for me, if I was going back in to the gym, had no ailments now, hadn't touched a barbell in a year, like, I'd be looking to move what was normally a 70% at like 50%. Right. And not put the expectation on hitting that 70% for a while until I just felt a bit more comfortable. Because again, just like last time, there'll be a lot of injuries. Like, the lockdown eases, people go back in, they're like, yeah, I know what I should be doing, but I'm going to see where my 1RM is at the moment. And bam. Like, I've got quite a few clients who we will test their 1RM because they have a barbell.
Let me schedule in the diary for the 13th of April to do a rehab podcast. But yeah, I think the human body is fucking incredible. Like, it's unbelievable how fast you can adapt, obviously, as long as you do the right things. So the thing that I found is whenever you are introduced to a new sport, or you're introduced to a new stimulus or a new position or whatever, the first time you do it, you're like, crap, like, what the hell's going on? Give it a few weeks and your body adapts so fucking fast. And I think, I mean, this is where it's down to the coach to make sure that the plan that you're on is progressive towards that, so you're not hit to the ground as hard as possible on day one. Like, that is our goal as a coach, to make sure that we understand your capacity and we do not completely destroy you in the first week, that you are emotionally destroyed, and that you're also physically having to recover for 3-4 weeks.
I remember when I started as a PT, like, and you probably remember this as well, the consultation process was often about giving your client a workout they could physically have never have done by themselves.
Mm.
And I'm like, this is what a terrible consultation process. Like, anyone can beast someone as hard as possible. And that's what you don't want to do when the gyms reopen, is effectively give yourself one of those workouts. Mate, I think the keyboard might have just arrived. Oh, no.
What?
He's gone next door. Fuck.
It was 1:39, wasn't it?
Is that what it says?
No, I'm joking.
People going back in, making sure that they don't beast themselves as hard as possible, basically.
Mm. And this is the coach's job, essentially, is to make sure that the psychological expectations are there and understanding is there. And we did a post today on accountability, which is so important, and establishing that clarity between both coach and client. And to be honest, from a coach's perspective, this period of now to the 12th is an opportunity to build on that relationship of accountability.
Yeah.
Because when people are exposed to gyms, if they do not communicate well with their coach, or they're not fully accountable for what they're doing, or the coach has not built the foundations on the importance of accountability, they could get a week in and the client could be doing, as we said, all of the sessions that they've been told to do and more with their social environment, which is, it's not a terrible thing, but obviously you need to manage that with your coach. It is bad, but it's not terrible. And if you haven't built that foundation come 12th of April, you're going to be in a position of 1, 2, 3 weeks in that you might be, as you said, injured. You might be unable to recover. You might be blown out. Your central nervous system's completely blown out, out of your butthole. You're just completely fucked. You can't do anything for 2, 3 weeks. And you're basically saying to yourself, like, what has my coach done?
And I think as well, for some people, it's a really good time to get a coach as well, leading you out of this lockdown. If you find the right coach that allows you to stay accountable, and someone who a coach that understands that, right, you're going back into a gym, like, let's ease you back in and make sure that in 6 weeks you're better than when you started. Like, if I go into, you know, the amount of 1,000 rep challenges I've seen, what is the purpose of 1,000 rep challenges?
Right. Yeah.
It's just mad. If you get a coach now who guides you through this transition process, right? Yeah. Sometimes I onboard a client and they're like, is that it for session one? And I'm like,
Yeah.
Next session, we'll build on this a little bit. But what I want to see is you looking back in 6 weeks' time going, oh, I understand why we did that now. Because your volume will go up and you will have tough sessions. But day one is definitely not the day for those sessions to be in your program. Because I don't know anything about you at that point.
No.
And again, like, even my clients who I do know a lot about now, there's still an experimentation process to how they are going to handle this transition back into gyms. Like, some of them are resilient. This entire process hasn't made a single bit of difference on their life. They've just continued progressing as normal. But some of them have been like almost on the verge of just, I cannot train like this.
Yeah.
And so each person is going to be a bit individual in the way they handle it. And so your best option, the safest option, is to assume that if you give them high intensity or heavy loads straight away, that they're going to break. And worst case situation, if they don't, cool. Now you can build on that. But worst case situation, if you go the other way around, all of your clients break.
Yeah. And I think that is so important, because you touched on the topic of, I mean, all these situations expose you and your client to new environments and stresses and changes. And it's almost like, holy shit, like, we're not on phase six, we're on phase one over and over again, constantly evolving to what's going on.
Yeah.
And I think it is so important for people to understand that when you take on a coach, yes, it starts on day one, but day one is not when you get punched in the face.
Yeah.
Day one is when you get an understanding, you build that relationship, is when you develop the volume, is when you develop that understanding, is when you develop that relationship.
Yeah.
And I think people need to understand that a coach and client relationship is not about going, here's your workout. and go do it. How did it go? Like that, that is not a client coach relationship. A client coach relationship, like we said in the first episode, is about connecting with our clients, understanding the good and bad influences in their life, making decisions with them on what best suits them, giving them advice, being honest, being real. And I think almost this is a time from now to the 12th of April to build those foundations. And if you do not have that, and I'll tell you now, if you're in a position now that you are not entirely sure as to the program you are following or the coach you are with or whatever, now is the time to do something about it. Because
whether it's build that relationship, come the 12th of April, whether it's build the relationship back with that coach or whether it's change coach, which is not necessarily a bad thing.
12th of April is where you need that fire, that spark in the fire to blow. Because that is when all coaches and clients are going to be working together.
You may have some technical issues here. My headphones just ran out, but I'm still going to be able to hear you.
It's all good away.
Yes, hopefully it shouldn't pick up on the mic.
No, you're good.
I can hear you.
Oh, okay. But yeah, I think, like we said, this process of going from now till 12th of April is so important. It's important to build your relationship with your coach, develop those foundations, prepare yourself mentally, develop that relationship of accountability, and just be prepared. I think it's the most important thing. And like we said, post 12th of April, stages. Prioritize those stages, understand what you want to achieve, what you need.
Mm.
And if there's one thing that we should have potentially developed from this whole situation, is understanding what the hell we need to function. Yeah. And everyone's different. Like, some people love being alone. Some people thrive off social situations and need it. But I think now is come 12th of April, we've got our priority list. We know, right, okay, socializing is at the top of my list.
Yeah.
And go from there.
Yeah, for sure. Just basic human requirements.
Yes. But yeah, I think that's pretty much it for me. Is there anything you want to add, Mike?
No, I think we're good. I've just got like...
You just want to go...
25 tangents that I'd end up going off on. So yeah, it's probably better.
That's brilliant.
Maybe we'll do a tangent podcast. Get your
PC built. We'll do a tangent podcast. We'll just call it Tangent 1.
I'm going to go build it with Brett tonight.
Oh, mate. Awesome. So yeah, guys, hope you enjoyed it. Let us know what you think. Make sure you like and subscribe.
Yeah.
Obviously, we will be releasing podcasts every week. So if there's any topics you want us to cover, let us know. If not, we're going to eventually get some guests on here, but we're going to just cover topics that will hopefully help our clients or people that just want help during this period. But yeah, hope you enjoyed it. Let us know what you think. And until next time, enjoy.
Good to see you guys. Bye.